Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. It's said to be rare in life to get a second chance. Rarer still if the chance is to buy back something of value that you sold. And uniquely rare if what you can buy back are 11 Montana dams that generate electricity. Of course, having a second chance doesn't necessarily mean it's smart to take it. Does it make sense? Is the price right? Can you afford it? Here to discuss these questions are Bob Rowe, President and CEO of Northwest Energy, and John Hines, Vice President for Supply. Many thanks to you both for joining us on Home Ground. Bob, I know you've just been to the dentist, and I expect John will be doing most of the talking, but the last time you were on our show, you were serving on the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities like Northwest Energy. You're now in charge of a utility. How's the transition been?
It's been tremendous. I left the Public Service Commission in about 2004. I had a business of my own for about 4 years after that and joined Northwestern in August of 2008. I've never had a job I didn't love, but I've never had a job I love more than this. And the reason is, first of all, the people that I get to work with, John Hines and about 1,500 other great people all around our service territory, but also the mission. We are focused on building a strong utility, providing great customer service, and being involved in the communities that we serve.
Very interesting observation, and I'm glad to have the chance to discuss it just a little bit with you. To an outsider, the transition from regulating a utility to managing a very serious business where you have part at least of your obligation is to maximize return on investment to shareholders would seem like black and white, but seems like that's not the case for you.
No, when I left the commission, Northwestern Energy, which at that time had acquired the transmission and distribution business from Montana Power, was in bankruptcy. And at that point, I had the opportunity to think about what kind of utility I wanted to serve Montana and what kind of utility I wanted to be served by as a customer. And what I concluded was I wanted a financially sound, utility-focused, community-focused, and customer-focused company. Since joining Northwestern in 2008, that really is the kind of company that we've been focusing on building, and that's a soup-to-nuts company and a pure utility.
You obviously thought about these terms. Community-focused was one of the terms you used. Customer-focused, what does that mean?
Well, community-focused, and I think that's actually an important way to distinguish being utility service as opposed to being an energy development company. In Montana, we have employees in over 50 Montana communities. Our employees tend to be very, very long-term, tend to be very much involved in the communities that we serve. Our investments, of course, are all across our Montana service territory. And the nature of the people who choose to work for utilities is one that people like to stay involved. They're proud of the service that they provide to their communities. And every day you get up and you go to work, no matter what it is that you're doing at Northwestern, but you know you're doing something that really does make a difference for your customers.
How about customer focus was the word you used?
We're trying to engage with our customers just as closely as we can. All of us spend a lot of time out talking directly to our customers, trying to understand what we can do to help them succeed, whether it's a small business customer, a residential customer, perhaps a nonprofit. That really is a very important part of what we do.
One question further before I turn to the dams. In those kind of conversations, in your personal experience, are they meaningful? In other words, one might say, what can a customer tell you as a CEO or your leadership team or anybody else about running a utility?
One of the best examples, we have our distribution system infrastructure project underway right now, and that involves really intensive work in our gas and electric distribution systems in Montana. Before we started that project a number of years ago, we created basically a customer focus group, and this is a group of individuals, all different kinds of customers who came together on a monthly basis, learned an awful lot about the challenges, the complexities of the low pressure pipes, the low voltage wires that connect all of us as customers. They helped us really put together a vision and a plan for how we would go about investing in the long-term health of our most basic infrastructure at the distribution level.
Thank you. John, let's talk a little bit about dams. But before we do, any key values that you grew up with that still stick with you?
Sure. Thank you, Brian. You know, the value that I think of the most, I guess, is I want to have a Montana that allows my children and even their children to be able to stay here and earn a living while still keeping the values that I grew up with, being able to use our rivers, streams, mountains, the way they are now.
In summary, what led to your work in utilities?
I had a background in math and economics, and energy was one of the areas that I was interested in from the very beginning. I think energy is kind of the linchpin for our economy, and being able to have a part in trying to have a long-term stable energy portfolio for Montana is a really nice blend of what I hope for to keep for our children, as well as something that I'm obviously interested in from a professional perspective.
That's a pretty good segue into talking about the dams. Can you give us a little background? Do you know when and why they were built?
They were built, most of them, quite a number of years ago, some of them close to 100 years old. They are developed in order to facilitate economic development in the state of Montana. There was a large industry that needed affordable power. The hydros were, frankly, pretty visionary by some of the folks that were developing these facilities, and they looked at it as a long-term investment for Montana, cheap renewable power. Even back then, they were thinking of it in those terms, and it's something that I think we have the opportunity to continue moving forward by acquiring these dams again.
Just in terms of the history of the dams prior to their being sold, how do you feel it played out? In other words, you've outlined the expectations of people that built the dams to supply reliable power for Montana's industry and growth. Any sense for how that played out before they were sold?
I think that they were an incredible resource for Montana. They were very low-cost facilities at the time that they were sold, low-cost as far as terms of providing low-cost electricity. And actually, both Bob and I, from a professional sense, were working, but not with the utility at the time these dams were sold. And, you know, we worked quite hard actually trying to mitigate the effects of these dams being sold. And it's a pretty amazing and unique opportunity that we have to be able to try to rebuild what was once an incredible, valuable portfolio of resources.
Bob, you look like you want to add something there.
Yeah, the set of dams that we're acquiring are really quite remarkable in a number of ways. First of all, they're relatively small. They're not the large Columbia River dams, and they're really embedded in our transmission and distribution system. And they're also embedded in communities all across Montana. If you think about the cultural, the natural resources value of these assets, really kind of a unique thing culturally is there are lots of folks who now work for Northwestern Energy or may have retired from Montana Power or Northwestern Energy who grew up as part of the hydroelectric community at the dam camps, for example, in the Great Falls area. One of the really wonderful things since we made the announcement that we were acquiring the dams is hearing from current employees who may have grown up in hydro operations, hearing from retirees, hearing from actually, in some cases, widows of former employees who had worked at the dam. So the electrical output, the opportunity to provide that kind of stability for an important part of our service is fantastic, but also really being stewards of that part of Montana's cultural and natural resources history is something we are very excited about.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Bob Rowe and John Hines of Northwest Energy about the possibility or potentially the likelihood of acquiring back Montana's electric generating dams. So, John, why were they sold?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that people put forward as to why they were sold, but fundamentally there was some legislation passed in 1997. It's now known as the deregulation legislation that basically led to the Montana Power Company selling these assets as well as all their other generating assets, and the intent was to use the proceeds from those sales to invest in telecommunications.
Since they're a regulated utility, did that require permission of the PSC at the time?
That was an issue that was much discussed, but really wasn't settled at that point in time, as to whether the Public Service Commission had clear authority to oversee the sale of a utility's assets. Fortunately, now with the legislation that's been passed since then, there is clear authority. In fact, the utility must request any sale of assets by the commission, and the commission has to approve that kind of sale. Obviously, Bob was part of the commission at that point in time, and he probably has something he wants to add to that.
Yeah, in 1997, the legislature passed electric supply deregulation bill. The Public Service Commission voted 3-2 to support that bill. Many people remember Commissioner Bob Anderson, who died last summer. He and I voted against supporting the bill, and the reason was an assessment of risk. And we simply concluded that the risk associated with that sale, from a customer perspective, was too high, that the Western power market was not going to remain low and stable forever. And unfortunately, that was the experience. What the legislation said was that the commission may neither require nor prohibit Montana Power from selling the generation once it was taken out of rate base and no longer dedicated to serve customers. My assumption at the time was that Montana Power wanted to be a merchant. Ultimately, they made the decision to sell. One of the few good things that came out of supply deregulation was that when the generators were sold, there actually was a credit back on customers' bills, and there was a buyback contract between PPL, the acquirer, and Montana Power that protected core customers from the turmoil of the Western power market through 2002. As soon as that buyback was concluded in 2002, we were all fully exposed to the market.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The assumption of deregulation, which was national, not just Montana, Montana was an expression of that national trend, was if efficiencies of the market would bring down utility costs over time. John, how would you say that's worked out broadly? We could do a whole show on that. We want to get to the specifics of the dams, but in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's part of the rationale behind why I think that the dams are a very good acquisition for customers. The power markets, while there is the ability to buy and sell power in these markets right now, in fact, we do so to some extent to meet our customers' needs, I'd say it's kind of defined by several variables. One, it's extremely volatile. In other words, the prices go up and down without necessarily a lot of rhyme or reason, if you will. Also, we see some real differentials in pricing. Right now, we're actually in a fairly low cycle, but even within this low cycle, we've seen prices move 200 to 300% from year over year. And, you know, at the early parts of the deregulation, there was actually tremendous swings in market pricing, in fact, up over 1,000%. And some of the industrial customers in Montana that were actually exposed to market suffered extreme economic distress. In fact, a couple of them were shut down for years because of the high market prices. So at times you can certainly get advantage from, you know, low market prices, but when it does move in the wrong direction, it can move quickly and significantly.
Bob?
I think it's worth pointing out that in the western United States, Montana was the only rural state that opted into supply deregulation and divestiture. Other states in the Pacific Northwest kind of walked up to the edge, looked over the precipice, and walked back. And in the Western
Doesn't sound
market,
like we made too good a choice. The analogy is fairly dramatic.
It is, and I think from a customer perspective, it's a good analogy. And in the Western United States, there aren't some of the sophisticated multi-state regional transmission organizations and other entities that might help manage some of the risk. So we are in a very unique position in Montana, and again, great credit to the legislature starting in 2007 and to the Public Service Commission for reversing course in a way that others around the country just did not think we would be able to do.
So with that background, John, why is buying the dams a good idea?
First, let me kind of frame the decision-making that we have. Northwestern needs to go and acquire additional power to meet our customers' needs. We have about 30 to 50% of our portfolio right now in the market, and we have a very large power purchase contract that's expiring in June of 2014. That's around 25% of our total portfolio needs in one contract that's expiring. So I have an obligation, you know, in order to ensure low-cost, reliable power, we've obviously got to go out and look for something to replace that. There's not a lot of different options out there. One, we could look at buying power from the market. We can look at building new generation. Mm-hmm. We can look at trying to acquire existing generation. And those are really the three options that are out there. And then what I think of opportunity knocked, and these hydro assets came up for sale a little bit over a year ago. We'd actually been looking and seeing if they were, PPL Montana was interested in selling these assets for a number of years, but until last year, we weren't really given any signal that they were going to come up for sale. So you look at the four different options, we evaluated those, and our analyses clearly showed that the hydros were the lowest long-term cost, lowest risk option available. And that's what the statute requires us to do. We're required to look at it from a long-term perspective, and we're supposed to balance both risks and costs. And like I said, the hydros in our analysis clearly are the preferred path to pursue.
You say lowest cost. Can you give us a summary comparison in your analysis how this ended up being?
Sure. And these are big dollars that I'm talking about here. We looked at the cost of the hydros over the long term, and we determined a value of around $5.8 billion. The other two alternatives, either building a combined cycle plant or going out to the market, had around a $400 million more expense over the long term, and it's both costs and risks factored into those numbers. So we're looking at a $400 million differential over the planning horizon.
My understanding is that the one organizational critic, or I guess critic's a fair word, disagrees with the proposal is the Montana Consumer Council. What are their key arguments? I know carbon is one of them. Let's just start with carbon. They say that you're factoring in the cost of a carbon tax or something. Can you explain that?
Yeah. First, I think it's important to note that the Montana Consumer Council is an intervener in the case, and basically has some concerns about the proposal. There are other interveners in the case that are supportive of it, low-income groups as well as renewable groups. So the Consumer Council believes that we shouldn't be including carbon as a risk in our financial analyses. Frankly, we're a little bit frustrated with that argument because we're required to, from Montana law and Montana statute, to include environmental risks, and that specifically carves out carbon as one of those risks that must be evaluated. Then we look at what's also going on, not only in the Pacific Northwest, but throughout the United States as far as highlighting carbon. Mm-hmm. And carbon is a big deal out there. We're quite comfortable saying that either carbon standards, carbon regulation is going to either increase the price of electricity, or it's going to actually lead to shutdowns of thermal plants, which will, as you lower the amount of supply out there, also result in higher prices for electricity. So we don't think the merits of telling us not to include carbon has any validity. But then we went to the next step and said, okay, to what degree are our values perhaps not within the norm, what other utilities are using?
You mean the value you're putting on a projected cost of carbon?
Correct. The value that we believe the price of electricity will increase because of carbon regulations, carbon mm-hmm. standards. And we find that we're anywhere between 20 to 80% below what other parties are using, specifically other regulated utilities in the Pacific Northwest.
Bob.
It's important to remember that Northwestern Energy is the only possible acquirer of these assets who would be regulated by the Montana Public Service Commission. And that means that for as long as these assets exist, they will be regulated on an original cost minus depreciation basis. Any other acquirer would either be a regulated utility in another state or, more probably, a merchant who would be pricing at the market. And if you own clean resources with no future carbon-related risks, with no fuel risks, whatever happens on the Western market to drive up prices, coal plants shutting down, more expensive requirements in terms of environmental compliance, is pure profit to you. So if you were a merchant owning hydroelectric facilities, your reaction to future carbon regulation or anything that constricts the market is bring it on. Because we would be operate these as a regulated utility, that entire value goes not to us, but goes to the customers. And that's why we're focused on long-term price stability from resources that have very, very low future environmental risk and essentially no future fuel risk.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking about Montana's hydroelectric dams with John Hines and Bob Rowe of Northwest Energy. Let's talk price. How much are you going to pay?
We've made an offer contingent upon successful regulatory review of $900 million. The net actual purchase price will be $870 because one of the dams will be transferred to the Confederated Salish Kootenai Tribe within a year.
And the dams were sold, correct me if my memory's wrong, around 2000, 2001 for what, $725?
Roughly around $725 million, correct.
Okay, so there's an increase in value. What do you say about that?
It's unfortunate that the dams were sold, but the reality of it is these are being sold at market prices, and Northwestern has to bid at basically market price to be able to acquire it. It's no different than if someone sold a home 15 years ago and now they're reselling it again. What it was originally sold for no longer matters. It's what the market is willing to look at right now.
Maintenance. Sometimes you buy some, it's worn down. How are the dams doing?
We actually feel very fortunate with that issue. We believe, and data shows or supports, that PPL has been a very, very good steward with these resources. They've invested a tremendous amount of money in the facilities, upgrading, doing turbine rewinds, other sorts of technical jargon that actually will make these facilities run at a very high efficiency level for decades to come.
When you say they put a lot of money in the dams, what are we talking about?
We're looking at nearly $400 million since their ownership. Now, some of it's been on operation and maintenance. Some of it's been on actually equipment replacement. But also a big chunk of it, over $250 million of it, was into what they call the Rainbow Upgrade, where they actually rebuilt one of the dam's generation facilities. And it actually will allow additional generation not only from that facility but also downstream facilities.
Well, if I add those numbers just quickly in my head, what they paid and what they've put in is more than you would be buying it for.
It's a little bit apples and oranges, but yes, okay. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Your literature says, quote, "You will pay a little more at first. What's a little, and for how long will you pay a little more, if you're just, say, the typical residential customer?"
Sure. You know, it's a bit of a moving target because we are required to adjust our rates every month, so there's some differential. But right now, we filed our testimony just a few days ago, and we made some adjustments based upon, in part, the Public Service Commission's listening sessions. There was some people made some very good comments, and we took those to heart. We were looking at somewhere around $3.80 to $4 a month increase for each residential customer that we have. Ironically, like I said, while we change our rates every month, the total bill effect compared to when we first made the filing back in December of 2013, the total bill right now we're projecting is going to be lower than what it was back then. So if instead of going down to the market path and having an initial shorter-term rate effect, we're going to have around a 4% rate increase. But bill-wise, compared to where we were just about 8 months ago, we're showing a lower bill than then.
Bob?
I started the discussion by emphasizing the investments that we're making back in all aspects of our service in Montana. Since 2008, our total plant and service in Montana has increased about 15% a year, and those are assets dedicated to serve all of our customers. Even as our investments in safe and essential service have gone up, our rates on the electric side have been close to flat since 2008, changing only about 1.5% a year on average for a typical bill. And on the gas side, have actually gone down. So in that context of an awful lot of bill stability, again, we think this is, we absolutely acknowledge there is a near-term impact, but for that impact, you are acquiring an awful lot of future stability and future protection from fuel price changes, from environmental regulations. We think it's, again, an opportunity to be farsighted and to do something that just fundamentally makes sense.
John, you were going to add something.
Yeah, there's two parts to the question. One, what's the initial rate impact? And then over time, what's the effect of the hydros on our portfolio? Mm-hmm. And after the second year, we're seeing that it's actually the cost of the hydros declines year over year or is stable. It's just like a mortgage payment. It becomes less and less part of your overall cost.
I think you said, John, that you need more supply in any event. So if you don't buy the dams, what are you going to do?
I think that the most likely outcome is that Montanans will have foregone an incredible opportunity and will be back. Basically, what I think of it is deregulation to buying power at the market and hoping that the market doesn't increase quite a bit. We, you know, over time, realistically, it will. The other really unfortunate outcome will be these facilities will be sold. Clearly, PPL is selling them. And they'll most likely go to an out-of-state entity, either another regulated utility in the Pacific Northwest. The state of Washington's governor just said that he wants their utilities to buy carbon-free generation, or it'll go to some kind of hedge fund.
I think I read the PSE is having a hearing in July and making a decision potentially in September. If people want to weigh in on this, citizens, what do they do?
The PSC, to their credit, has been holding listening sessions throughout the state of Montana, and I've been able to attend quite a few of them, and it's been a great experience for me listening to Montanans voice their strong affirmation for this transaction. People can provide written comments or attend the formal hearing on July, beginning July 8th here in Helena.
Okay, where do they submit written comments?
You can just send your comments care of Chairman Gallagher at the Montana Public Service Commission here in Helena.
Great. Bob, you're the head guy. Well, got any final comments you'd like to offer people?
When we made this announcement, there was a tremendous amount of enthusiasm across Montana, but also among our employees and our retirees. I got a letter from a retiree who quoted former CEO of Montana Power, Paul Schmeckel. And what Mr. Schmeckel said, and I think it applies here, is buy it used, take good care of it, and run it for a long time. And this is an extraordinary set of assets that serve Montana for 100 years. The opportunity to rededicate these to serving our customers at prices based on cost, not in the Western power market, and giving us a portfolio that is over 50% water and wind is extraordinary. So we are very, very hopeful that we will be able to do this for all of our Montana customers.
Gentlemen, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you both so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. We'll